We can put our trust in you that you are with us. You will lead us. You will lead us forward and you will never leave us. Grant us, Lord, to trust you, to take those steps to follow you, knowing you will not leave us. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, church. Thanks, worship team, for giving us a slice of heaven this morning. Yo, it's like a nervous. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can be in your house this morning. What a beautiful place it is to be this morning, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here to conduct business with each and every one of us this morning. We thank you that the word that will go out, Lord, is not Valalem's words, but it's your words. And I pray, Lord, that our hearts will be ready to receive, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your presence is so sweet here this morning. And I thank you that you come and that you touch every heart, Lord, in a very specific way as we listen to your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
For those of you who do not know Valalem, if you're new to the church, he's one of our elders, and he's sharing with us. He's an amazing man of God. He's married, he's got lots of kids, two beautiful children. And are you growing them up or numerically?
No.
Just up. Okay. Valalem, for those of you who don't know him, one of our elders.
Okay, now I'm ready. So, about a month ago, Varys asked me to share a prophetic word and stuff that the Lord has laid on my heart with the small group leaders in our church. That was about a month ago. And so, subsequently, he's asked me to share that with the church at Claymont, which I did last week, and now you guys get to hear it for the third time. But the things that I'm sharing is just a summary of what the Lord has laid on my heart this year. It's important to state that, you know, it's an ongoing conversation, and so it's things that the Lord is adding to the conversation that I'm having with him on a daily basis. But, you know, the difficulty in that is, you know, to present it in a 30-40 minute slot and to make sure that it flows and that it's logic to everybody. So if I get lost or you get lost, you know, just trust the Holy Spirit. I hope and I pray that you might hear something this morning that is not new to you, but it just acts as a confirmation of something that the Lord has already started in your heart and something or an instruction that the Lord has already given to you. Proverbs 15 verse 23 says, "To make an apt answer is joy to a man, and a word in season, how good is it?" So a prophetic word, more often than not, is very direct and can act as a stern warning, but it will always lead you to God. So this morning, it's not a case of us, and I include myself in that, feeling condemned, but really to build us up. So this is a word of encouragement for all of us. And I really trust that these are the things that the Lord has just shown me. There are many other things, obviously, but there are seven keys this morning that I trusted the Lord to highlight that I want to share with you that I really believe will unlock 2024 for us. Okay. Here's the blood take claw. Doing well, Valalem. The first thing that I want to share with you is that we have been called. And what I just want to, a side note, and I must be careful because I have lots of side notes and then I'm only going to get through the first three pages. But so the series City to City, there are a lot of things that came out from that series that you will also hear in this sermon this morning. So if I have time, I will highlight them, but otherwise you will hear it. So the first thing that I want to share with us is that we have been called, and it is imperative in this year that we know what our calling is. The first bomb that I want to drop, I think there are six of them in my sermon this morning, is that this is not a year for us to sit around and allow life to pass us by. If you look around you, what's happening in the world today, war all over the place, the West, all the countries that we know and that we have admired for so many years and decades are going up in smoke. We're living in a season of acceleration, and we have to know what God has called us for. You need to know, I need to know, why I am in Hermanus for a time such as this. We've been created for a purpose that is so much greater than just you and I. If you think your little life and my little life and your job and my job is greater than the purpose that God has for your life, then we need to wake up this morning. Ephesians 4 verse 1 from the Amplified reads as follows. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal and beg to you. Have you ever seen anybody that begs? It's not a nice word. There's earnestly and there's stern words that are spoken. And beg you to walk, that means to lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, with favor, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. Colossians 3 verse 17 from the New Living Translation reads, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks through him to God the Father. Our primary calling in this life is to follow Jesus and to be a good representative. There are lots of other things, and I know there are books written and sermons and YouTube videos and people that have built ministries on what your calling is. But primarily, my calling and your calling is to follow Jesus and to be a good representative. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord, rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. In 2024, let's make God our master. Don't allow the world, the noise, and everything to direct and to dictate how to live your life. We need to set our priorities straight and make God number one. And if we don't do that, we have zero chance of making it through this year. And the world will suck us in and spit us out. Doing well. Page 2, done and dusted. The second thing that I want to share with you this morning is to fan the flame. One of my favorite scriptures in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, also from the Amplified, reads as follows. That is why I would remind you to stir up, that means rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by the means of the laying on of hands with those of the elders at your ordination. I'm just in awe. Over the last 2 months, the Lord has really taken me on a personal journey, and I want to share that with you this morning, is the simplicity, and I'm going to share that. That's, I think, point number six, or key number six, and Andries has spoken about that, the simple gospel and the simplicity thereof. How often do you ask yourself and wake up with a question, what does the cross mean to me? We hear it, we sing it, we read about it, but does it really have the impact in your life that it should? And Hendrik spoke about that a couple of weeks ago as well. We understand what the cross has done for us. We even worship about it. But does our lives reflect the truth of the cross of Jesus Christ? I'm honest, mine doesn't. Not always. Most of the time, I hope so. A lot of people in this room that know me well, you can maybe give me a scorecard afterwards. But lately, I'm just overwhelmed that Jesus died for me, that he loved me so much. And I'm just absolutely overwhelmed by this gracious gift of salvation. It blows my mind. You should wake up every morning. I should wake up every morning. And that notion that Jesus died for you on the cross should be the first thing that goes through your mind. And it should actually just stop you in your tracks. But more than that, we should meditate on it so that it can have an impact on our lives. You know what? Passionate Christianity should be the norm. It should not be the exception. Never settle for a dull, mundane, and boring relationship with the Lord. If our relationship with the Lord has become just that, boring and mundane, and here's the next bomb, then my question to myself and to you this morning is, do we really know the real Jesus? Are we serving the real Jesus? Or is it just a knockoff Jesus that we've created in our own hearts and in our own minds that fits into my world and your world? Or maybe something has snuffed out the flame of the passion that once burned in our hearts. It might be sin, it might be disobedience, or it might be the cares of the world that so easily ensnare us. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3, which is one of my favorite scriptures, but I don't have the time to read it this morning. So we need to fan the flame in 2024. The flame that once burned in your heart, whether you started your journey of salvation 24 years ago like I did as a student in Stellenbosch, or maybe last week, the fire that the Lord has ignited in our hearts. That flame needs to burn, and it needs to burn more, especially in a time such as this. And so my heart for 2024 is really to live with an expectation that God is going to blow my mind. That He's going to take me and you to places that I've never even think, dreamed, or imagined of. Somebody brought me a word in this week, which I so thoroughly appreciate, is do not forget the dreams that God has laid in your heart. And I want to share that with you guys. The third point that I want to share with you this morning, and we're going to get stuck in here, is faith in action. First, the third bomb that I want to drop this morning is stop praying and asking the Lord for more faith. Stop praying and asking the Lord for more faith. The disciples in Luke 17, verse 5 to 6, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it will be done. In another translation, which we are not allowed to use, but I'm just going to throw it in there, is Jesus actually replies, you don't need more faith. You don't need more faith. What do we need to do to activate our faith? And how do we do it this year? First thing, and this is key number 4, is thanksgiving. We need to prioritize and focus on Jesus, because when we focus on Jesus, our feelings that we so struggle with, I speak to people often, and I was meditating on it this week, having a tough week myself, you know, how our feelings just sway us in all different directions, and how we get so entangled. But if we focus on Jesus, our feelings will follow on what we focus on. And we need to get into the right mindset and the right attitude. Colossians 4 verse 2 from the Amplified says, be persistent and devoted to prayer, being alert and focused in your prayer life with an attitude of thanksgiving. There are some other scriptures, Psalm 100 verse 5, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. We need to get practical around our faith in 2024. I read recently, you know, a small analogy of, you know, if your faith is represented by seed, and there is a whole barn full of seed, that seed means absolutely nothing unless we take it out and we go out into the field and we sow it. Otherwise, it is just seed in the barn, your barn and my barn. So the practical stuff, coming back to thanksgiving, what I'm trying to do actively this year is to start every day with thanksgiving. The first words and the first thoughts that go through my mind when I swing my legs out of bed in the morning is, thank you, Lord, for your death and your resurrection. We cannot allow all the negativity, all the heaviness, and all the anxious thoughts to continuously weigh us down, and we cannot allow that to be the first things that pass through our minds. A small testimony on thanksgiving, and it's something that I'm actively trying to do in my life. I was going through a tough situation. There was a project that I was running for about 18 months. I was piloting the project, and somebody just came and hijacked it from the side. And I was seriously upset. And I was struggling with the Lord, and I said, Lord, I'm trusting you for this thing to work. I'm trusting you for this thing to take off and, you know, to be glorious. Yet, somebody's hijacked this project. How do I deal with that? And He simply said, say thank you to that person that they've taken it off your hands. I'm like, do what? I'm not going to do that. There's no chance. I've spent 18 months doing this. And so the Lord said, well, just say thank you. So it took me about 45 minutes, which is a record for me. I drafted an email. I sent it. I read it over. It makes no sense. And I sent it. And I felt like Kilimanjaro fell off my shoulders. The next thing that I want to share with you, and that's key number 5, is boldness. And I must say, it's so amazing how faithful the Lord is. Intercession before church, intercession with the worship team, and the words that came out, just the confirmation of the things that the Lord has laid on my heart. We need to act and speak with boldness. We need to improve our reaction time when the Lord lays stuff on our hearts. We need to move. If the Lord lays somebody on your heart, if you see somebody in your spirit's eye, pray for them. Don't put it off. Pray for them. Send them the message. Act. We've got to get into that mindset of having the difficult conversations and the uncomfortable conversations. Paul wrote in Romans 1 that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to adapt that boldness. to speak to that boss, to speak to that coworker, to speak to that family member. And we need to start praying. The next thing that we need to start praying, rather than asking for more faith, we need to ask for obedience. James 1, 22 to 24, we all know it very well. Do not be mere hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. I have a couple of testimonies that I also want to share. My wife is not here, but she will wink at me in the second service, I'm sure. But we need to become sharp so that we can act with implicit obedience. That means respond immediately. So one of my goals in this year is to improve my reaction time, whether it's when the Lord tells me to do something or whether I'm having a fight with my beautiful wife, who is most of the time right. But Leonea and I, we fight very differently. I'm very good at sulking, very good at vibing, very good at giving silent treatment. But you know what? The Lord has challenged me and said, you cannot continue like that. So I'm seriously trying to improve my reaction time just through obedience. Funny enough, I got tested on that 3 times yesterday while I was preparing. The next thing is the ability to brush things off in the moment. You know what? We've become a generation that we are so easily offended, and that's also one of the things that I'm working very hard at. I've been ignoring the Lord telling me that for years. Is Vlalem, jy is 'n bietjie lig geraak en jy raak maklik offended. And ek is soos, nee, ek dink nie dis waar nie. So I'm trying desperately to get into that mindset of you know, being obedient when the Lord says, this is not the time to get offended. To brush it off. Again, a situation that I was sharing good news with somebody. I was so excited, and they just trampled all over my good news. And the Holy Spirit in that moment just nudged me and said, now is not the time to be offended. Where normally I would have ignored that person for a month, easily. I was able to have a conversation with them in 10 minutes time. We need to respond and brush it off quicker. Then also under obedience is the Lord wants to be so creative in our lives. And we need to learn how to connect the micro moments. Connect the dots in our lives. You know, we all have the excuse, I don't have time. I can't go to D6. I can't go to the Connect. I can't do this. I can't do that. I just don't have the time. But I have the perfect anecdote for you. You know, allow God to be creative in your life and my life. Let Him change the way you think about church, about quiet time, for example. We sometimes get so entangled that, oof, okay, ek het laat gewerk gisterand. I'm not going to be able to get up at 5:30 and spend an hour or half an hour with the Lord. You know what? In that day, allow the Lord to be creative and connect the micro dots. When you stop at the traffic light and you wait for 3 minutes, pray. Don't take out your phone and send a WhatsApp to Vlalem unless the Lord tells you to do that. But we've got to develop a sensitivity. Otherwise, we miss the micro moments that the Lord has in store for us. The next thing, we have to start praying for a sensitivity of heart rather than for more faith. Another bomb that I want to drop, James 2, verse 22 to 21 to 22, the story of Abraham and Isaac, we are reminded. And I love my neighbor that now lives in Cape Town shared this with me. You know, if Abraham stopped listening when he saw that ram in the thicket, and he stopped listening to the Holy Spirit, he would have sacrificed Isaac. I said last week, I have a whole graveyard full of Isaacs. Opportunities that the Lord has given me in my life since I followed Him the last 24 years, where I stopped listening to the Holy Spirit and I sacrificed Isaac and not the ram that the Lord provided in the thicket. And so we've got to develop a sensitivity of heart. We don't need more faith. We have all the faith we need. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, so that we will stop sacrificing our Isaacs. We have to pray for courage. Amanda, thank you for the word in intercession. The woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5. She needed to step out in faith. We're still talking about faith in action. She needed to step out in faith. She had to push through the crowd. If you go and you read between the lines of that story, there were a lot of people. And for that woman to push through all those men, it took courage. And she had to touch Jesus, the hem of His garment. And His simple words was, daughter, your faith has healed you. Some of us need to be courageous and step out into those faith situations. I've already mentioned that we have to be sharp in the spirit, and that is confirmed by the scripture in Galatians 5, verse 16, that says we've got to walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit. And then the last point under faith in action is we have to learn how to remove the lies and replace it with truth. Andrew spoke about, I wasn't here last week, but I know that he spoke about how do we read the word and how do we fill our hearts with truth. Some of us need to hit the reset button and change our default settings. You know, it's so often that you get into a situation, you missed your quiet time, you didn't tap in or you didn't plug in with the Lord. Something happens at the traffic light. Something happens at the drop-off at school. Something happens when you walk through the door in the office and your whole life just spins out of orbit. Your mind goes into a funk and you just spiral and you just spiral and you just spiral. Anybody that's experienced that this week? Oh, okay. Sorry, just me. Anybody else? One? Anybody? That's okay. We'll talk about sin and lying just now. So, you know. But you know what? We need to replace the lies that the devil has sown into our lives. You know, the smart people talk about neurological pathways. You know what? The devil triggers you, and before you see, you're down there in that spiral. For some guys, it might be pornography. For some girls, it might be whatever. You know, there's a trigger, the pathway that has been formed in your life. It is so fixed, you just don't know how to get out of that. And the Lord this morning will deliver us and wants to deliver us from that. But we need to hit the reset button. We need to replace those lies with truth. The last thing on faith in action, and this is Vlalem completely challenged, is prayer and fasting. The word says that there are certain kinds that can only be driven out by prayer and fasting in Mark 9. And so I am very honest that I am not very good at fasting. But the Lord has challenged me for years now, and this year finally I've acted and I've been obedient. And my testimony is that I've asked the Lord to unplug me from a specific situation. And he did exactly that. And then my whole life fell apart. And I couldn't understand what was going on until I asked, Lord, but you know, you have unplugged me from this situation. Why is it so hard? And he said, well, that is why I want you to fast so that you can be reset, so that you can quiet the noise, so that you can learn what solitude and separation unto me means, living a holy life unto me. Not to lose your zeal and your passion, not to become desensitized by the world, but to remain focused. And therefore, I see Jacques lurking on the side there. My friend Jacques and I, we try to fast once a month, which is very hard for me because I enjoy eating. But it's in obedience and discipline that the Lord wants us to walk. I think I'm ahead of time. I'm doing well here. The sixth key for unlocking 2024 is simplicity. Andre spoke about the simple gospel and the scripture that he used, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 and 2. One of my favorite scriptures that often remind me about simplicity, and it's something that it's nice when your spouse, you and your wife are on the same page when it comes to simplicity and living a simple life. I love Philippians 1 verse 2. It's one of the first scriptures that I memorized when I was a student 24 years ago. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It reminds me to keep things simple, to focus on Christ and to live for Him. You know what? We've become experts in complicating life. Most of us have a PhD in complicating matters. We get our priorities so tangled up that we don't even know how to focus on Jesus anymore. Our hearts and minds need to be trained and we need to become disciplined. Did you know that anxiety is a clear indicator that our priorities are completely demakar, ampersekitsaus? Like I mentioned, running scenarios through your head and you find yourself in a rabbit hole in a downward spiral and you just don't know how to get out of that, causing you to struggle with sleeping, to focus, concentration, you're miserable at home. So in 2024, we really need to grasp and understand simplicity. The simple gospel, but also living simply. The Lord is something that I shared with the people at work as well, is You know, I have made 2024 a year where I'm going to travel light. I'm going to, all the issues that DHR want to drag, I'm going to leave at the door. So 2024 is a year to travel light, to live simple. And then the last key is that the Lord wants us to live in freedom. The Lord wants us to be free. Okay, the next part might be a little bit hard. But we have to stop calling the sins in our lives problems and issues. We have to learn to deal with sin. We have to be bold. We have to be honest. We have to be courageous. And we need to learn what true repentance means. We have to stop tolerating the sin that Jesus died for. We have to stop tolerating the sin that Jesus died for. Because if that is our mindset and we think we can get away with it, we are serving a knockoff Jesus and not the real Jesus. If we think we can continue to sin and that there is no consequences to our action, our image of God and who He is warped. We have to learn to be transparent. We have to walk in accountability. We have to ask friends, our spouses, the people that we know and that we love, what are my blind spots? What are the things that I cannot see? Testimony from my own life, dealing with sin in my own life. And I want to bring everything together that I've shared with you is the Lord challenged me to fast one particular thing in my life, which was very hard. And it's a daily struggle for me. But I can see how the Lord is transforming me. And you can ask my wife and my kids how the Lord is transforming me. And I can see how it has changed my prayer life because I've stopped speaking and I've started listening much more. And the Lord is faithful and He is speaking continuously to me while I'm being quiet. And it's amazing when you combine the thanksgiving, the boldness, the obedience, the courage, even the fasting, to see how the Lord will come and unlock 2024. And how the Lord will set us free from the things that have bound us and ensnared us for such a long time. For some of us, months. For some of us, years. Dare I say, decades. In 2024, the Lord has called us to live one day at a time. And live that day well. Lamentations 3:22-23, the Lord says that His mercies are new every morning. 2 Peter 1, the Word says, I've given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. We don't need anything else. All we need to do is we need to pull up our socks. And we need to live well, one day at a time. Don't allow the noise, the lies, and the confusion to drag you down. Lay down the things that ensnare you, idols, your work, bad relationships, toxic friends, toxic family. And learn to live well and be content with the things that the Lord has given you. We live in a time where comparison is the number one sport. But we've got to live with hearts set free from envy and strife like Werner preached a month ago. We need to be set free from living in competition and comparison with one another. And so in conclusion, Hendrik, jy kan maar opkom. In conclusion, I'm not here to stand this morning and say, these are all the things that you need to do. These are the things that we need to do. And I'm running right in the front of all the things that the Lord has laid on my heart. And it's really the prayer of my heart that the Lord will change the direction of your life and my life if it is not the direction that the Lord wants to go. The Lord wants you to go. And I know that the things that I've said like I said in the beginning, is stern and is very direct, but I really trust that it's not a word of rebuke, it's a word of encouragement, because most of these things, even though they sound hard, are actually pretty simple. If you just put one foot in front of the other, just live one day at a time, live today well, find one thing and do it well, and then find the next thing and do that well, and get into that habit and get into that discipline. And like I said, my fast, it is very hard for me. It is something that I've got to struggle with every day, but it's something that I trust the Holy Spirit to lead me, because I know that I cannot do it by myself. So I want to remind you of the seven keys that I've spoken about this morning. And the first is, we have been called, and we need to know that we have been called. The second key is to fan the flame of the fire that burns in your heart, or once burned in your heart. And at that, I actually just want to interject and say, you know, some of us need to be very bold and very brave and do brave things to fan the flame, because the flame that was once burning is not burning in our hearts anymore. We need to activate our faith. We need to live our faith in action. Two things there that are very important is with thanksgiving and with boldness. And then lastly, simplicity. Don't complicate life. Start every day with the Lord and you will be amazed. You will be amazed. And then lastly, it's a year where the Lord wants to bring freedom to our hearts. And He has given us everything that we need. We just need to walk in it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning that we can come into Your presence and just, yeah, surrender our hearts before You, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that You want to conduct business with us this morning. And Lord, there are so many things that are happening in our lives, but Lord, You want us to live above the circumstances. You want us to live free from the things that are like millstones around our ankles, Lord. And so I pray, Father, that as we sit right here, that the Holy Spirit will just put His finger on one thing this morning, and one thing only. And that as where we are, Lord, that we will allow the Holy Spirit just to stir. For some of us, Lord, we actually don't know that we've been called and that we have a purpose. We float in and out of church, we float in and out of small group, and we just allow life to pass us by. I pray, Father God, that You will come through Your Holy Spirit and put Your finger on that spot right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that our faith, that we will fan the flame, Lord. Those of us that have allowed the cares of this world to ensnare us and to snuff out the flame. Or for some of us that have lost the joy of our salvation. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You will touch our hearts. Lord, some of us, the door of our barn of faith, Lord, has been locked for such a long time and the seed is rotting inside, Lord. But this morning You want to come and refresh and give us fresh seed, Lord, so that we can step out in faith. You want to teach us thanksgiving. You want to teach us boldness. Lord, some of us are just so negative. Some of us are just so caught up in the day-to-day. And we cannot see the simplicity of Your gospel, the simplicity that You hold before us, Lord, to live one day at a time and to live it well. And lastly, Lord, the freedom that You hold in Your hand, the freedom that You came and that You died for. I pray, Lord, that we will stretch out our hands this morning, Lord, and that we will take hold of the freedom that Christ came to set us free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's just all stand. Let's take a moment and just reflect on what the Lord has spoken to us through the message this morning. Whatever part it may be, I really believe it's a prophetic word for us as a church. So really to meditate upon it and just in your own words, just to speak to the Lord as the band will lead us in worship. So just in your own hearts, just respond to the Lord. Let's sing together. Invitation to follow you closer, deeper, and with sincerity of heart. Lord, help us, Lord, to simplify our lives, Lord, to make a decision to follow you, to trust you. And Lord, I pray, Father, that we will take this word this morning, Lord, apply it to our lives, Lord. Step out in faith, in action, in a way that glorifies you. Lord, we ask that as we move from this place, Lord, being more committed and dedicated to follow you this year, Lord, that you will come and manifest yourself in and through us. And Lord, we pray for opportunities to share this hope, this love, this joy that we find in doing so, in following you. May you bless us as we go from this place with more of you, more boldness, more joy, more peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you. Trust to see you next week. If you need of prayer, we're going to be here for a few minutes. If there's something you want to dedicate or consecrate to the Lord or just some encouragement, we're going to be here in the front.